I am talking about effort tonight. I want to talk about effort tonight. And I think it's because last week I talked about the idea of overwhelm and overwhelm being in the mind. And I, as I was thinking about that and as I was going through my days, the reason I talked about it last week was because I had been away for a few days. And when I came back, I had this whole really full calendar with a lot of things going on day after day after day after day after day, and had a tendency to start feeling overwhelmed, which is an old go-to of mine, and like just not feeling any capability of getting everything done because my mind thinks I have to do it all right now, even though that's obviously not true. And so as I recognize that, oh, I'm going into overwhelm, and overwhelm is in the mind. Arena Weissman, a teacher, said that to me years ago, and I went, oh, yeah, it is. It's when my mind gets lost and sucked into the future and thinking about doing everything. And I thought about when I had that awareness and making the effort to come back. It's part of these teaching of effort, recognizing when we're stuck in some place that's not really helpful. Feeling of overwhelm is not really helpful. So making the effort to come back. And then when I start walking through my days, or if I look at my calendar, or if I see something on a to-do list, knowing that feeling arising, and then making the effort to not get sucked in. To really stay and say, oh, this is overwhelm, rather than just kind of going with the thoughts. And that is what effort is. That's what right effort is. And it's so important. It's a whole factor in the Eightfold Path. It's in the section that's with mindfulness and samadhi, which is often translated as concentration, but is also, I like to think of it as collectedness of the mind, this steadiness, this awareness. So we don't just get to a place where we're mindful and like, hello, there's an effort that's always there, that's always asked for or pointed to. And so I want to talk about the efforts, and there's four efforts. It's to prevent the negative states or unwholesome states. The word is usually translated in the suttas as unwholesome, preventing those states from arising. Or if they do arise, if you do get sucked into something, letting go, being willing to release what's coming up. And then the third one is to cultivate or allow the wholesome states to arise, create the conditions that allows this wholesome state, beneficial state to be, and then sustain those. How do you make the effort to stay? So really what we do in meditation is recognize when you're lost, be willing to return and stay present, you know, cultivating this present time awareness. So that's just the piece that we experience in meditation. But, you know, right effort goes throughout. It's not just when we're meditating, as all of these factors of the Eightfold Path, of all the Buddhist teachings, meditation, mindfulness is just one piece. But there's a continuity of mindfulness that we want to sustain as we go through our lives. We can all get good at meditation, but it's how do we work in the world? How do we show up as people with lives and families and relationships and the world around us? It's meant, wise effort is meant to, as I said, create these conditions that allow us to be present. What happens is as we walk through the world, as we sit in meditation, when we get stuck, it's because these patterns, these habitual patterns that we have developed through our lives are triggered and take us to painful places. They say unwholesome, but you can say painful. You can say anything that's not pleasant, that you're sucked into. There's grasping. That's the craving that the Buddha talked about. There's clinging. There's aversion. There's delusion. But then also how they show up in our lives. Overwhelm is one of them. Or anger, hatred. So beginning to recognize what those patterns are like in our own lives. So there's our internal patterns and habits, and then there's the societal patterns that have been planted in us, like perfectionism and productivity and a lot of those things that are quite common in the culture we're in the West here. So to begin to recognize these causes and conditions that are impacting us all the time, and to see them and use effort, we use mindfulness, and we also use right view. The factors of the Eightfold Path all work together. They're not discrete. Oh, I got that one, and now I'll move on to the next one, but they support each other. So seeing clearly, oh, I just woke up recognizing that I'm stuck in overwhelm again. And then, so that's the mindfulness, and then the effort to be willing to let go of that. Because sometimes I know in my life I've been stuck in a really painful place or stuck in a really uncomfortable story, and I'm not willing to let it go, especially when it's like, you know, thoughts of revenge or they'll get theirs, fantasies about those kinds of things. There's this pleasure in them, but it's not wholesome. It's not helpful to stay in those places. As seductive as they are, because these thoughts can be very seductive, but we can end up in these unwholesome places. So effort is what we need to move away from what's not beneficial and move towards what's beneficial. So if we want to look at how we move through these things, or if we prevent, let's say, starting with the way the efforts are traditionally listed, preventing negative states from arising, it's a lot of it is, you know, sometimes guarding the sense doors, really being cautious about what we let in, so that we don't, you know, create these stories or allow these stories, or aware. I like to talk about keeping our eyes wide open, knowing what's happening instead of just getting sucked in. So knowing that there's sound, knowing that there's images, knowing that there's thoughts, just kind of being aware. So I like the idea of guarding the sense doors. Not that you're sitting there going, no, you can't come in, but this awareness of like, oh, this is arising. This is arising. And then, so that's where the right view and right mindfulness come in, because you're paying attention. But sometimes, because they're so habitual, and we're so used to these patterns of thinking that we're not aware, and we just end up going there. I've mentioned many times that I have, and I don't do it so much really anymore, although I still find myself doing it, having conversations with people who aren't present, because I want to make a point, or I want to change something that happened yesterday. So I'm replaying a conversation with me saying different things so that I make my point, or they see what I'm saying, or they do it the way I want them to do it. Because obviously if something is unpleasant or doesn't turn out the way I want it to, my head says, if you had done something different, it would be different. So I'm replaying what I did in a different way so that I wouldn't feel so uncomfortable right now. And so when we're caught in these stories or overwhelm, you know, sometimes I go into it for a little bit, but then I begin to recognize, oh, that's that story of overwhelm. or fear what we're caught up in. I was talking to a friend today. Yeah, and I don't even remember now what we were talking about, but getting caught up and being willing to let go. I know she was having a lot of back issues, and she has she's not clear on when it'll get better, because they're not sure what's causing it, and she's had back issues before, and so she's in a lot of pain and a lot of fear and just gets lost in those stories, which makes sense, but it's not helpful. It's not beneficial. It's not wholesome. So if we can recognize, that old fear story, and come back, you know, it may not dissipate the experience. It may not dissipate the emotion. The fear may still be there. The sense of overwhelm might still be there. The sense of anger, whatever it is, might still be there, but we don't get lost in the story. It's not a promise of dissipating it, but it's an invitation to learn to be with. You know, we guard the sense doors, but if we get dragged away anyway, then we learn how to release and come back. It's like the hindrances are a good way to look at unwholesome mind states. The Buddha talked about the five hindrances, and that's, you know, craving, wanting something, lost in fantasy, or not wanting something, lost in aversion, or dullness, you know, just this checking out kind of a place where we just stick our heads in the sand in whatever shape or way that takes. Restlessness, worry, the world is in a place of the conditions of the world right now can really foster a lot of fear and a lot of fear, a lot of anger, a lot of worry. So to recognize that, and then just doubt that this stuff is, you know, doubt yourself, doubt the practice. So to recognize that's the hindrances are really helpful as a way to point to, that's, again, lost in craving. I mean, craving has a million different ways of showing up, but if you can go, that's some craving, that's some aversion, there's a way to shift how we see it, and then just, can I let go of that craving? Can I let go of that aversion? Recognizing the emotion might still be here, but releasing it, being willing to release it. Be willing to let go. And sometimes we have to let go again and again and again and again and again. The stories that are so powerful. So, you know, you've had the experience when you come to meditation and sometimes you sit and you're just there, and that other times your head's like not there, but for like 3 seconds for a whole 45 minutes, it's like, where have I been? I have no idea. Or the bell rings and you're like, where was I? So that happens, but the effort is to continue to recognize what the body feels like when you're lost in those places too. That can be a real pointer to, I'm not anywhere near right here. The jaw gets tight, or the belly gets clenched. The shoulders go up around your ears. What is your embodiment of these experiences? And begin to have that recognition. And begin to, that's when you release, create a little bit more space. So you're not lost in the, I need it to be this way, but wow, right now it's like this. Can I make peace with this moment? You know? And then the next piece is to give rise to the wholesome states. And that is, you can look at the different qualities that are wholesome. So what qualities are wholesome? One of the companion to the hindrances is the factors of awakening. There's mindfulness, which is the foundation. But then there's investigation, the question, what is this? What is this? And the energy, bringing the energy to it, just like effort. We have to come to it in a certain way. We can't just sit there and wait for it to happen. There's a little bit of effort in this practice. Sometimes there's more effort, sometimes there's less effort. But we bring the effort. And when we're able to get to a place of recognition of, okay, I'm not lost in the story. There's this sensation, there's perhaps an emotion, but I can be with it. There's an ease that's present, a flavor of joy that's present, tranquility, samadhi, this collectedness of mind, which ultimately is equanimity. So those are the wholesome states that you can cultivate or begin to recognize, you know? What does it feel like when you're not caught in the story? It doesn't mean you've gotten rid of the overwhelm or the anger or the fear or whatever it is, but that you have the capacity to be with it in an equanimous way, a balanced way, a way that makes space for it. But it takes effort. And this is the thing about equanimity. It doesn't mean that you get to that. You get to equanimity and then you're there. There's always an ebb and flow and a push and a pull and a balancing. It's like if you're standing on a seesaw or something that goes up and down. You can't just kind of, you know, stay there. I mean, sometimes you get balanced, but oftentimes it's this continual adjustment, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here. And that's what the continuity of effort is. This little bit here, oh, sometimes push a little bit more, sometimes back off a little bit, sometimes, you know, just kind of hang. So it's this recognition and this effort becomes kind of second nature. It's just like, oh, I'm starting to drift. Can I kind of just come back? And so begin to recognize what that feels like. And then maintaining, this moves into the maintenance, you know, sustain those beneficial qualities. There's that awareness, there's that balance, there's that just enough. People ask how much effort, and the answer is always just enough, which always makes you want to smack the teacher when they say things like that. Just enough, find your own way. But it's true, and I think, in the suttas, it talks about like tuning a string instrument. If you have ever tuned like a guitar or a violin or something, you know, you tune it a little too much, and I haven't done it in probably 50 years, but it's like it's not quite right, and if it's too loose, it's not quite right. So getting it just enough, and I think if you know your own personality, you probably know whether you're that person who just like goes in and bears down and it's like, I can do more, I can do more, I can do more. Then you might be the person who needs to back off a little bit. Or if you're the person who's like, I don't have to do anything, I'll just let it happen. Maybe you need to bring a little bit more effort, but beginning to have that clarity, that seeing what's necessary, without worrying about getting it right or wrong. How much is it? Is it, you know, 3 minutes worth or 1 minute worth or what? It's just be present. Bring the whole awareness. Be in awareness. You know, am I present? What's happening? What's the body doing? What's going on? Not striving. I know I've told this story before when I was on a retreat many years ago. It was very, going into the retreat, it was a lot of ease. And then all of a sudden I realized that it started to get unpleasant after a week or so. And I was trying to get back to the ease. And I was in meditation one day and I was bent over, like that, with the shoulders up around my ears, bent over with my hands, like clawing my knees, trying to push my way back to where it was, that place of striving, making the effort to make it be something different. And so it's not about striving. It's this gentleness of effort. When you notice that you're in a place that's not wise or skillful, when you're lost in that thought, can you just go, the recognition of awareness, and go, let go, release, what's here, what's right now, what's this moment? Coming back, not striving, just like, let go, just let go. With gentleness, not with critical voice, but clarity. What was the story? This is where the little bit of investigation comes in, that from the factors of awakening. What was that? What's underneath that story? Sometimes when you can spend some time with it, you see that there's something older driving it, some old trigger. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So again, watching that craving for something to be a particular way or having to get an answer. But I think the intention is just to come back to right here. What's going on right now? Only with this letting go do you get to liberation. And that's the work of transformation, is this willingness to let go. There's this great book called A Whole Life Path by Gregory Kramer. I've talked about it before. And it's about the Eightfold Path. And he talks about really being aware of the conditioning and the balanced effort that we need. And he has this, he talks about deprogramming ourselves from the skewed effort that a lot of us experience because of the societal stuff that we receive in messages all the time. And he says, the culture around us provides massively unskillful ideas about effort. Work hard enough to earn money, then make yourself happy by purchasing and consuming far more than you need. Force yourself into a religious mold and concoct a purely good person. Hide and repress what is broken while judging others for their brokenness. And we can probably come up with a whole lot of other ideas of why or how we have this effort, this big house on a hill, or a good job, or a really long retreat. You know, these ideas of unskillful effort. But when we deprogram from that, we recognize that effort is wholesome and helpful and skillful. You know? And he also talks about abandoning these deeply seated confusions that we have and these karmic knots. So this work of wise effort is a work of disentangling ourselves from these stories, these causes and conditions that we've grown up with. It's wise view coming in. With wise effort, mindfulness, clarity. And we do it through this practice. We practice it and then we bring it into our daily lives. It's what we do. You know, this continuity of mindfulness, this Eightfold Path is how we walk through the world. It's a path of realization and liberation. And making effort, just the right amount of effort. Making the effort, being willing to let go of our most cherished ideas, especially if they're unskillful, if they're harmful. This is where the sila, the integrity part of the Eightfold Path comes in. Is this harmful to me, to others? Can I let go of that? So it's effort to let go of anything that doesn't serve. Those unwholesome stories we get stuck in. So thank you so much, my friends. I really appreciate your attention, and I hope that this has been of some benefit. So thank you. Any thoughts, any questions, any clarification on any of this?
So, you know, what you're talking about is very difficult to do. You know, sometimes it takes months and years to kind of get to the, oh my God, this is the same old story.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just boredom. Oh my God, this is just the most boring story.
Yes.
I've heard this a million times, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Absolutely. I should have mentioned that. I should have mentioned that it does take forever. That's what they talk about. You know, the Buddha, the Jataka tales are the stories of his prior lives before he took birth as Siddhartha Gautama and became enlightened as the Buddha. And it's like he was learning all this stuff. So it's a scary teaching that it took multiple lifetimes. I just take that as a recognition that this stuff isn't easy and it does take time. But I love what you said about thinking, oh my God, not this again. I felt that with self-pity. I used to go into self-pity. It was like kind of where I hung out until after a while I realized it's like, ew. I was able to let go of that for the most part. Yeah. Thank you. That was a good insight. Thank you for visiting Undefended Dharma. These teachings are freely offered. However, if you would like to make a donation to help support the technology that makes these podcasts possible, please visit marystankavage.org/support. Thank you.